Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hello, everybody. I'm really thrilled today because I have a friend in the studio with me, Dr. Tim Boyd. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Jill.
How are you today?
Awesome, and thank you for inviting me here.
Well, thanks for driving all the way over from UCH Hospital, you know, and visiting with me today and talking about some amazing things you have going on in your research lab.
I appreciate being here. Thank you.
So tell my listeners your exact title.
I'm a research instructor at the University of Colorado, the Anschutz Medical Campus.
Okay.
I work very closely with Dr. Huntington Potter, and I'm in his laboratory and have been since 2007.
Right. And you came from Florida, right?
Yeah. He gave me the great opportunity to relocate here in 2012. So June 2012, I got here.
Do you like it?
I love it. You come to Colorado, you don't leave.
That's right.
And I do not miss the mosquitoes from Florida.
Oh, that's true, right? So you have been credited by Huntington Potter, Dr. Potter, that you work with, for finding the connection between rheumatoid arthritis and Alzheimer's, or rather the lack of connection between the two, right? Can you explain that a little bit?
I can. And it might be helpful to kind of go back a little bit.
Go right
ahead. As to how I actually joined his lab.
Go ahead. Sure.
I was 4 years into my PhD program. Mm-hmm. I had worked on two projects that had been given to me, and due to technical and scientific reasons, they were not working.
Okay.
So I needed to take my qualifying exam, which is kind of the master's on midway before getting the PhD.
Okay.
And he was my outside chair, and I was looking at an autoimmune disease similar to myasthenia gravis. It's called Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome.
Okay.
And that's what I did my project on, and proposed the use of a drug called Rituxan to potentially help that disease. So this was 2006.
Wow.
And that proposal did very well for my qualifying exam, and I passed it, but then I needed a new project, and he gave me a couple of options, and one of them was to try to figure out why diabetes, type 2 diabetes specifically, might be potentially a risk factor for getting Alzheimer's disease,
right?
Or why rheumatoid arthritis might potentially be protective against getting Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always interested in the part of the immune system is called the innate immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And that fit with the rheumatoid arthritis story. And so I chose that story. And then I went to all of the medical literature in the library, and I started looking at all the different things that might be going on in rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
And what was different between that disease and what might be going on with the immune system in Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And comparing the two diseases, I focused on there's three growth factors for the immune system, primarily for this innate immune side. And I focused on those three because those are upregulated or increased in rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And those make the immune cells that I assumed could traffic to the brain. And those immune cells might be able to clear out the pathology of Alzheimer's disease and regrow the blood vessels and fix that disease.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to test all three of those growth factors.
And what did you find?
Well, the growth factors, and they all end with colony stimulating factor. One is for macrophages, so MCSF.
Mm-hmm.
One is granulocytes called GCSF, and then one is granulocyte macrophage colony stimulating factor, GMCSF.
Okay.
And I tested all three of those, MCSF, GCSF, and GMCSF, into the brain of an animal that we develop or that has been developed that actually gets Alzheimer's disease pathology.
Mm-hmm.
So the these protein deposits in the brain. They're called plaques. There's a specific one from in the human Alzheimer's disease. We can make that peptide in the animals, and then they'll develop these plaques in their brain starting from about 6 to 8 months of age, and they accumulate just like in humans, the Alzheimer's plaques.
Are those your million-dollar mice?
These are the million-dollar mice.
That Dr. Potter can't even visit?
If he could. We can bring him down to the vivarium and let him...
He has said on my show he's not allowed to visit the mice, so I'm going to tell him you said he can.
We don't prohibit him from doing so. He's welcome anytime.
Well, that's awesome. So how did Leukine get involved in this then?
Leukine is the human version of that growth factor called GM-CSF.
Okay.
And when I tested these in the animals, I was able to inject on one side of the Alzheimer's mouse brain the growth factor, whether it's M, G, or GM, and then on the other side was the control substance, artificial cerebral spinal fluid. And then I was able to compare from one side of the brain to the next. And one injection of GM-CSF looked at a week later had removed in some of the animals up to half of the plaques out of the brain.
That's astonishing.
It was.
Right?
But we don't want to. This is obviously not the way we would treat people.
Right.
But that was really just to see which one would have an effect on this amyloid in the brain of these animals. GCSF had about a 14 to 15% reduction in the amyloid from one side of the brain compared to the other. MCSF did not affect the amyloid load, which was surprising to me. That's the one I actually thought going into the experiments that that would be the best one.
Right.
But it had no effect. It actually swelled up that whole side of the mouse brain, and it was not something we wanted to go forward with. Interestingly, MCSF is not an FDA-approved drug.
Okay.
And GCSF and GM-CSF are both FDA-approved drugs. And they are given to people that have low white blood cell counts.
Right, for cancer.
That have had chemotherapy or for any other condition they have low white blood cell counts. It rebuilds their immune system, prevents them from getting infections, helps them get out of the hospital sooner.
Well, that must have made your research trial move a little faster then, because you're already using a drug that's approved. Would that be a fair statement?
This is a fair statement.
Okay.
Because it's FDA approved, we were able to start in a phase two trial because all of the safety of the drug itself and that it's not going to harm somebody without the disease. That's what they test phase one trials with.
Right.
It was already past that. It's been used in 500,000 people over the 20-something years, been FDA approved. But we're in a phase two trial to test for its safety in an Alzheimer's disease population and secondarily to potentially look at efficacy.
Well, that must have been fun to present at the international conference that you had shown some progress in this area, I would guess. And we're going to take a break in a few seconds here. But when we come back, I want to talk about that. Were other researchers astonished by that? I mean, it's just really preliminary findings, so we're going to hold our breath, right? But in the long run, it's exciting stuff. I'm going to talk more with Tim Boyd from University of Colorado Hospital. He's doing Alzheimer's research, and he's working with Dr. Huntington Potter. We've had on the show many, many times, and he's going to explain more about this trial that they're doing when we come back.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back. And how exciting. I have Tim Boyd here, and he's explaining the project. I say project, that's a light statement of it, that he and Dr. Huntington Potter have going on at the Alzheimer's, Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center. And you were just explaining about the million-dollar mice that Hunt jokes about on my show. But you just explained how you had given, I'm going to let you explain. Go ahead.
Okay.
Take over.
Well, after we found that GM CSF had the greatest effect in the brains of the animals and in removing these amyloid, Alzheimer's disease amyloid plaques out, we then wanted to test it in a more realistic manner. And so we took another group of Alzheimer's mice, and then we have, and these are aged, and they're going to have lots of plaques in their brain. And we took another group of animals that do not have Alzheimer's disease, they're regular, same age.
Okay.
And we test them in these mazes. It's a water maze. And the Alzheimer's animals perform worse than the regular animals do.
Right. They can't find their way to the food and things like that, right?
We always make the analogy that if you go into, let's say, Dillard's at the mall.
Right.
They got three different entrances to get into the store.
Right.
One upstairs, one downstairs or such. And then you go in through that store, maybe you buy something there, maybe you then go through the rest of the mall and buy something. And then you come back to your car later. And it's always interesting. All right, which door did I come in?
Right.
Sometimes you walk out the wrong door. All right, you turn back around, go back in, you go out, you go through to the other door.
That's a good analogy. Okay.
And the animals are about the same way.
Okay.
We put them through these mazes. The Alzheimer's animals make more mistakes than the regular animals do.
Right. Okay.
And so once we had shown that, we then split both of those groups in half.
Okay.
And one half got just saline injections under the skin, subcutaneous.
Okay.
The other ones got GM-CSF one time per day.
Okay.
And then we did the same thing with the control animals, split those in half.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave the injections for 14 days, and through the 10th through the 14th day, we were doing this maze test with them.
Right.
The Alzheimer's animals, again, they continue, the ones that just got saline, they continue to do poorly in the maze.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that got GM-CSF were now performing as well or better than the regular mice.
That's amazing.
And even the regular mice started to show a trend toward improving that had gotten GM-CSF.
That's awesome.
And so we completely reversed their cognitive impairment by 14 days. We put them through a double maze test from day 16 to 20, and they were continuing getting the one-time daily injection each day. And that essentially showed the exact same results. So we then looked into their brains and showed that we had, in the Alzheimer's animals treated with GM-CSF, we had removed over 50% of the plaques compared to the Alzheimer's animals that did not. They only got saline.
Mm-hmm.
And we also showed that the connections between the neurons had increased in those animals, and that there was an increase in the amount of immune cells in the brain, which, just like rheumatoid arthritis, that you have more immune cells presumably getting to the brain to remove these plaques or prevent the disease from happening. So that's what the major findings that we showed.
You say that so calm. I want to scream. That's amazing. I mean, that's freaking brilliant. Like, you just told me that you cured Alzheimer's in these mice. Now, mice are not people.
Right.
They are not people. But how does this translate? So you've now moved to the second phase of your study, and you're actually working with people,
yes.
Real people. And how's that going for you?
Well, before we could start the trial, we wanted to start a human trial at that time. And there was some concerns by the Institutional Review Board mm-hmm. at the University of South Florida. They're the ones that, after the FDA gives approval, they have to give the final approval to do a human trial.
Right.
And they were, whatever their concerns were, they wanted us to show that this was associated with improved cognition in humans already, which was kind of preposterous to us. But mm-hmm. luckily, we had friends, Dr. Potter had friends, over at the Moffitt Cancer Center that mm-hmm. sits right on the campus of University of South Florida.
Okay.
And they had done what's a chemo brain, which is chemotherapy-induced cognitive impairment.
Right.
People get dementia sometimes, a lot of the times actually, from the chemotherapy
right.
of treating the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we asked them, they had done this study, they basically they did cognitive testing on people before they would have gotten chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have gotten the chemotherapy, probably might have had some dementia after the chemotherapy. And then they looked at their cognition at 6 months and 12 months.
Right.
And we asked the lead study author for that if any of them had taken Leukine, GM-CSF.
Right.
And she did not know. But she said, you could go back and probably look at their billing records and
sure.
find out. And
right.
so that's what we did. And what we found was that the people that had taken GM-CSF,
mm-hmm.
and actually in combination with G-CSF, the other one, those were both FDA approved,
right.
that they had greatly improved cognition at 6 months as compared over the baseline.
Right.
As compared to the ones that only had gotten G-CSF.
Right.
But the ones that G-CSF had was about at the same level as baseline, which meant that it had brought them back to that stage. And then at 12 months, it was also greatly improved cognition over baseline for both of the drugs.
Right. Okay.
And so that was our association that this drug might be helping cognition in the cancer patients. And so that was in humans, and that satisfied what the Institutional Review Board had wanted from us.
Okay.
And that allowed us to start our trial.
All right.
And we started it in Florida. We started using a half of the FDA-approved dosage. That's another stipulation they gave mm-hmm. us. And we also have an arm that's placebo, so half treated, half placebo. We
right.
have to do that.
Okay.
And we showed no serious adverse effects at all in
great.
The subjects that were treated. 14 were treated under that paradigm.
Okay.
They were treated for 3 weeks, five times per week.
Okay.
And our data safety monitoring board met and said, we think it's safe enough that you could use that full FDA-approved dosage.
Okay.
And that's where we are now.
Good. So you've actually started in humans. This is moving forward.
Yes.
And it's pretty exciting stuff. I mean, we've been looking for a cure for Alzheimer's for such a long time. When we come back, I want to talk about the international conference that was just in Chicago.
Yes.
Your thoughts about what you presented and were people excited about it. And just a little bit more with Tim Boyd.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, so I'm back with Dr. Tim Boyd from the University of Colorado Hospital, and he works in the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center Research Lab with Dr. Huntington Potter. So, Tim, we were just talking about the Leukine trial. That's what you're calling it, the Leukine trial. Yeah. And you've explained the scientific piece around it. Now, this past summer, you went to the International Conference on Alzheimer's, and it was in Chicago.
Yes, this year was in Chicago.
In my home state of Illinois. And I just wondered, so were people excited about this? I mean, you're with all these researchers from all around the world, right?
There were quite a few people that came by the poster that I was presenting, mm-hmm. and they seemed excited. And Dr. Potter had presented already in his talk about some of the clinical cognitive testing that has been done.
Okay.
And I think the main thing that is our primary endpoint is safety. So to date, we have had about 3/4 of the trial completed, is what we presented, 30 subjects, and that's half of them treated with the full FDA-approved dosage of Leukine, mm-hmm. The other half with saline, and we have not had any serious adverse effects.
Awesome.
So far. So we're meeting the safety goal. Efficacy, there are some hints that the treatment might be potentially affecting that. I don't want to speak too much to that just because it's such a short trial and it's a very small number of subjects. And if we add more subjects, you never know which way the results are going to go. But so far, I'm excited about the safety. The hints of any efficacy needs to be done over a longer period. Mm-hmm. We are going to be starting another trial where we're going to be treating for 6 months, 5 days a week for 24 weeks. Versus the placebo group. And I think that will allow us to really assess whether there's some real efficacy with this drug.
Okay. So from the layman's term here.
Yes.
Essentially, you started with a small group of people.
Yes.
You had some positive results.
Yes.
And they're guardedly positive, but you're feeling pretty good.
We're cautiously optimistic.
And what you have to do is you have to go ahead and you have to take this to a bigger group of people.
Yes.
And you also have to have the results sustained over a period of time.
I agree.
Is that a safe way to say that? So it can't just be it worked on them for a month. It has to work on them for a longer period of time. And then your final goal is to maybe get to 100 people or 400 people that you can try this on. And then eventually, if you see really positive results, you have to take this drug, make it into a pharmaceutical so people can afford to do it. Because right now, it's crazy expensive, like $100,000 per person, right?
That is correct. The FDA will need to approve this, and that will be through a very large phase 3 clinical trial. This next trial will still be a phase 2 trial.
Mm-hmm.
It will just be looking at more subjects for a longer period of time.
Okay.
Also assessing efficacy and safety and to make sure that it is safe in people with Alzheimer's disease over that extended period of time. What I presented at the conference was some blood proteins. So we analyzed the blood to see if proteins that are associated either going up or going down with Alzheimer's disease, if we're changing that. And there were some very interesting findings. It points toward mechanisms by which the drug may be working. And that also gives us new areas to research and could potentially allow for new discoveries of new drugs that might be used in combination with this also. So mm-hmm. it's
well, I want you to know Dr. Potter shared with me that I have talked to him on multiple occasions about my mom having tau protein in her brain. She presented exactly like she had Alzheimer's symptom and stages. She didn't have a single plaque or tangle in her brain when she died. So, you know, I'm always focusing on when you guys are going to move to a tau. Maybe you already have trying that with your little mice. But, you know, to those of us out there in the world that have any tau deposits or anything like that that are causing the hallucinations or whatever they're doing, that it just makes us little nervous, and we want to make sure you're getting to that too. But I think that's super exciting stuff. And I just want to put in a plug that you need money. You're not going to be able to do this if people won't donate. So please donate to the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center. Give Dr. Potter a straight donation. I have a fundraiser in my backyard. You were there this year and last year.
Yes.
And it's important to me. We have to raise money for this because money doesn't grow on trees over there. I don't know how many times I've called and you and Hunt are writing grants trying to get money there, right?
Yes.
Super important. We're
currently in the middle of a grant right now.
Yeah.
That goes out in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. And then we're heading over to Spain to present at the Clinical Trials of Alzheimer's Disease Conference, and this has all of the major pharmaceutical players there.
Awesome.
And that will be a good conference to present some of these findings.
Yeah.
And yes, we are also working towards testing this against tau.
I love that.
That's one of our projects going on, as well as traumatic brain injury.
Yes. So Dr. Potter has said he thinks that if you can make this work, it could help other diseases. Hey, before we go, I want to just let people know that the University of Colorado Hospital, Department of Neurology, Supportive Care, and Palliative Medicine Division is presenting a class for caregivers, which I am presenting, and it's strategies and techniques for successful communication. And anybody is invited. You don't have to have insurance or anything like that. It's a free class. It's going to be in room 2006, Outpatient Pavilion on December 4th from 3 to 5 p.m. I'm going to say that one more time. It is a free class for family and friend caregivers for anyone with cognitive impairment or memory loss. You just need to make sure that your person that you're caring for has either Parkinson's disease, atypical Parkinsonisms, Alzheimer's disease, Lewy body, or some type of memory loss or cognitive impairment to attend. That's the only requirement. Contact Julie Burke at 303-724-0510. I'm going to say that one more time. Julie Burke, 303-724-0510. Leave her a message. She is a very busy person. She's a physician's assistant to Dr. Benzi Kluger, and she will call you back to sign up for the class. This is not open to professional caregivers like at communities and things like that. So, folks, I can teach classes to you on a different day. This is for families, okay? So only come if you're a family or friend caregiver, and contact Julie at 303-724-0510. This has been awesome having you on the show.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Exciting stuff. And I don't mean it to be like sounding strange, but I'm so proud of you guys out there and girls and everybody that's in your research lab. You are knocking down walls and making discoveries, and this is good stuff, Tim.
Thank you very much, Jill.
Really
very
good stuff. Yeah. So, folks, you can contact me at 303-420-6988 or on my website, summitresiliencetraining.com, or go to Easy1430 to listen to some of these past podcasts. I also check on the weekend programming if you want to find my show, Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. And I also load a lot of great information for you on my website. Well, thanks, Tim, for being here, and I will see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz with more resources for my caregiver nation and friends with diagnosis. So long, everybody.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more, and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.